gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 9 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa. And today we're going to be talking about the differences in scoring between Dynasty Leagues and Redraft Leagues. What I've done is I've gone through and pulled a bunch of data to compare what does the scoring look like between a dynasty league and a redraft league that have identical settings. I want to know, do I need to have a team in my dynasty league that is better than the average redraft team? Or will the good redraft teams match up pretty closely to the best dynasty teams? Is there a certain point where we reach a limit and you just can't get more points than that, regardless of how many top tier veterans might be available in your league? Before we get into it, I want to talk a little bit about some of the tools that we have over on the South Harmon website. If you go to southharmonff.com, you can find both the Warp tool and the league simulator that I have. The Warp tool is integral to my process. I use it all the time when I'm evaluating leagues, when I'm evaluating trades. Just about every single time that I get a trade offer in my inbox, the first thing I'm doing is pulling up the Warp tool, plugging it in, and just seeing what this league looks like. Especially because I'm in so many leagues, it's hard for me to keep track. So just having access to this is able to help me understand, hey, this is what's going on in my leagues. And then in addition to that, you can find some other tools. You can also find the lab that JCAP has made. You can also find some of the South Harmon ADP. And those things are both really useful for checking out, hey, what are my rostership shares? What sort of things can I look at to make sure that I'm being a good portfolio manager? And the ADP, it helps you understand relative value of players. Like, I've used it multiple times. I'm in some auction startups right now, and I've used it to help keep track of which players are potentially still yet to be nominated that I want to make sure that I keep in the back of my mind, so that way I save enough money to potentially be able to snag them. So go check it out. Go check everything out. Go to southharmonff.com and check out all those tools. This episode is going to be a little bit shorter, I think, because there's some analysis that can be done here, but ultimately it all comes down to one or two quick end results. So I'm going to walk through the process and we're going to learn some stuff, and then that'll be it. So what I did was I went through and figured out what was the most common league type across both Dynasty and Redraft. That ended up leading me to some very specific parameters. I got down to a 12-team league where I started one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, two flex, and one super flex. So that's the starting lineup settings that I'm using. I could use this with any other league type, but I decided to run this analysis on the one that I have the most data on. And so that just happens to be what I had the most data on across both Dynasty and Redraft leagues. Now, obviously, redraft leagues, those tend to skew. There's a lot more like one quarterback ones out there, but I wanted to make sure that I had both Dynasty and Redraft in high numbers, so that way everything was the maximum that it could be for both types. I then also looked at the scoring settings. The scoring settings ended up coming out to all your standard 1/10 of a point per receiving yard, 6 points per touchdown. It did come out to 4 points per passing touchdown and 0.04 points per passing yard. So that ends up working out to 20 points or 20 yards per point. And then it was a minus two for fumbles lost, 1 point per reception, and zero tight end premium. Everything else that you can think of would be totally standard. 0 points for basically any bonuses of any kind, things like that. So that's the league settings that I'm working with. That ended up giving me somewhere around 1,000 leagues that in Dynasty that had that those settings, and about 600 in redraft in terms of the 2023 season. So what I went through is I pulled all the data from every single score from every single matchup and pulled that in and checked out, hey, what do these scores look like? I ended up with about 121,000 redraft scores and about 295,000 dynasty scores. That makes me pretty confident that I have a wide range, and that any individual league where, say, some managers might have just decided to check out, not set proper lineups or things like that, are going to essentially be muddled out of this data. And so we're going to be looking at entirely leagues where everything is done by managers who are actively managing their teams. I went through and plotted the percentage that each time a score was scored on a simple line chart, and you'll be able to see this in the Wrinkled Brains channel on the South Harmon Patreon if you want. So if you're interested in that, go to patreon.com/South Harmon, sign up for the pregame pooper tier, and you'll have access to this chart that I've created. But if you look at it, what it shows you is that, kind of surprisingly, redraft leagues score more points than dynasty leagues, like, across the board. I thought it was really weird when I first saw this, and I, like, went back and double-checked my data probably, like, 4 or 5 times, because it just didn't make sense to me. So, I was expecting, hey, yeah, the lower level of dynasty is going to be more common, because in redraft, everyone's playing to win, and in dynasty, you're going to have some teams that are rebuilding and not putting up as good of scores. But I was surprised to see that even at the top end, redraft leagues ended up still scoring more points than dynasty leagues. And that just seems wrong, but the data shows that it's there. And it shows that somehow in the dynasty community, our best teams aren't matching up to the best teams of the redraft community. You would think that dynasty teams actually are going to be stronger than redraft teams, because redraft teams, if you consider, okay, the 12 best players are probably going to be split among all 12 teams. Whereas in Dynasty, theoretically, the 12 best players might only be split among 7 or 8 of the teams, because some of the other teams have turned those players into draft capital or something like that. And that might be the case, but that's not being reflected in the scores. So the only thing that I can come up with right now, and this is entirely theory-based, like, I don't have any data to back up this assumption, and I know I talk about data all the time on this podcast, but my assumption is that in the dynasty community, we have some sort of bias towards the players we've invested in, and we hang on to them longer than the redraft community. The redraft community is much more willing to bench players that aren't performing as well, or the redraft community has easier access to some of these quote-unquote lower-tier players and start them in their lineup sooner. They're able to grab some guys off of waivers that maybe are lost on somebody's bench, and the person that has them on their bench doesn't think to put them in their lineup because they aren't actively out grinding waivers and searching for them or something like that. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but it seems like an inefficiency. And the way I look at it, I see that there is about a 6-point difference between the high-end teams on redraft versus those of Dynasty. Those 6 points can be super impactful. When you're talking from a warp perspective, that's the equivalent of adding essentially an extra flex spot to your team, as long as you're properly choosing the right players. And that just seems bizarre to me that we have that much of an inefficiency in the dynasty space versus redraft. Maybe it has to do with how people value players. They aren't getting the right values onto their team or something like that. But the top end scores in redraft score about 6 more points than those in dynasty. The other thing to look at is the average scores between redraft and dynasty. So on average, redraft teams score 130.36 points, and dynasty teams score 126.1. So the difference there is only 4 points, and that's fine. But what you end up seeing is that dynasty is a lot more clustered at this middle. I was initially thinking that the dynasty leagues were going to actually be flatter, that there wasn't going to be as many teams in the middle, that there was going to be more teams at the extremes. There's going to be more teams that have really, really strong teams and more teams that have really, really weak teams. And the ones in the middle, there's not going to be as many of those. They aren't going to be doing that. That's more of a redraft thing because nobody has an advantage in a redraft league because everyone's playing to win. But actually, dynasty is more compressed into the middle, and redraft is slightly flatter. It's not large, but I can see it in the graph, and when looking at it, I'm like, yeah, I can tell that a redraft league is kind of flattened out a little bit further than a dynasty league, which is also weird. I don't understand how that is happening and why that is something where we have dynasty leagues that just seem to play more inefficiently and more wrong. If you want the data for it, those of you that know what standard deviation is, it's basically a number for how variable is your data compared to the average. So if your data is something that, hey, everything is compressed towards the middle, you'll have a small standard deviation. And if you have a wider range, it's a larger number. And the standard deviation for redraft leagues is 42.8. And the standard deviation for dynasty leagues is 36.9. I'm kind of putting this data out there just to say, hey, if anyone can help me figure out why this is happening, please let me know, because I am confused, probably like a bunch of you are. All of my assumptions of what a dynasty league versus a redraft league with identical settings would be, they're different. The dynasty leagues just seem to be across the board scoring less, except for the fact that they're a little compressed towards the middle, so their average is a little closer to the redraft average. You can still see in the graph that, yes, dynasty leagues do end up scoring the lower levels more than redraft leagues, but that difference is only slightly more than the amount that on the flip side, the high-level redraft leagues score a little more than the dynasty leagues. So I'm just trying to go through this data, trying to figure it out, and I'm curious if anyone else has any other theories. I don't have any good theories as to why dynasty managers are inefficient. Maybe that's something that I need to explore, of are dynasty managers starting the correct players each week? Like if we compare it to some sort of like expert consensus rankings or something like that, are dynasty players doing it poorly? Are dynasty players holding on to hope that these younger players that haven't broken out will break out? Or are they holding on to older players who maybe to build a contending team, they ship away all the young players, they get a bunch of old players, but those old players don't end up having the ceiling weeks that you need to have. So I'm not exactly sure what the deal is with this, but it's kind of interesting to me to theory craft this issue and why dynasty players just are not being as good as the redraft community. Because we like to think of ourselves as better than the redraft community, but the data is showing here that our teams don't score as much. If you put the number one redraft team against the number one dynasty team, the dynasty team is more likely to lose. That just seems wrong, and I'm curious if anyone has any good, strong theories as to why that could be. While I was here, I also wanted to look at the amount of points that you need to hit certain thresholds in your league in order to reliably have a strong team. Before I talk about that, first I want to talk about our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can get all sorts of awesome signed memorabilia sent straight to you via bidding on live prize breaks. So what you do is you go on, you sign up for one of 10 different live break formats, including multi-sport mixers, Thirsty Thursday specials, and there's always something new and exciting that you can win and get delivered right to you. Everything is signed, authentic, verified, and you know that what you are getting is genuine signed sports memorabilia. In order to go sign up, go to signedshit, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMAN15 at checkout. Once again, that's signedshit or signedsh.it, and use the code HARMAN15 at checkout. So the last thing I looked at while I had this data was, what does it take to be a number one team in your league versus a number two versus the rest of the league? Because as I talked through last week, you want the first or second round bye. That is a huge difference. So I decided to look into it. To be a top two team in your league, you need to reliably hit above 165 points in a redraft league or 158 points in a dynasty league with these settings. Once again, this is a 12-team start 10 with 4 points per passing touchdown and basically everything else standard. So those numbers happen to be exactly one standard deviation above the average, which when you think about what I was using to make it, that actually perfectly lines up. So one standard deviation above is going to be the number of points that you need to be in order to have a top two team in the league. So in redraft, if you want to be a top two team in your league, you need to consistently score 35 more points than the average. And in dynasty, you need to consistently score 32 more points than the average. That's a good number to shoot for. So realistically, you can look at your league, kind of adjust these numbers a little bit. So if you look at your league and on average it scores, say, 140 points, like, okay, maybe I'll just auto-adjust my standard deviation up a couple points, and I'll say that my standard deviation, I'll make it be 35 now. I then go in. What is 35 plus 140? That is 175 points. That's my target goal of what I'm shooting for each week in order to have a top two dynasty team. It helps you give a number, so that way you have an idea of this is what I need to have. In fact, this is going to be something that I'm going to be going back through the warp tool and checking to see if my numbers match this. It's something that I've always thought about, is the fact that the warp tool is entirely based on assumptions of exactly how scores are distributed among fantasy leagues, but I didn't have data to show that they actually were distributed in that way. So I'm going to go back through and compare some of these numbers, and I might be refining the warp formula over here the next couple weeks to make it more accurate, so that way you understand exactly how many wins a player is getting, as opposed to just getting an approximation that was based on some older assumptions. And just because we can, let's talk about what you need to do in order to be the top team in your league. In order to consistently be the top team in these scoring settings, you need to be scoring approximately 48 more points than your league average. So to be the top team, note that that's also 13 more points than your second place team. That first place team often has a large advantage. And that's something that we can keep note of. The first place team is often somebody that it's like they are pretty obvious. They are on average scoring an entire player's worth of more points. Now, how do you become that top team? Well, probably a lot of luck, probably a lot of choosing the right players and potentially having good roster construction, all the sorts of things that we talk about here on this podcast feed on a regular basis. But this helps give you some target numbers to shoot for. If your league is scoring on average 130-ish points, if you can shoot for being better than your league average by 35 points, then you know you are a top team. You're likely to get yourself a bye. If you can get even better than that, you might even be the number one seed. But that's how much better you need to be. Fantasy football is a game of probability. And sometimes in order to ensure that the probability is on your side, you need to make sure that you have a significant advantage. And this is helping give you a statistical number that shows you just how much better you have to be in order to take advantage of having a statistical advantage. So go out, check out your leagues, see what the average scores were from previous years. You can honestly probably just do it by getting a feel of just going back to previous seasons, looking at the matchups, and if you just look at the numbers, notice what ranges they're around. Are they usually in that 120 to 125 point range? Great. Now just shoot for 30 more points than that. Are they usually in that 140, 150 point? Maybe you had just start an extra couple players, and so that's what bumps it up to there. Okay, now I want to try and get maybe 40 more points. And so that's going to help you get an idea, so that way when you're looking at those projections on your team at the beginning of the season, and if you finish your rookie drafts, you might even have some of those right now, they can help you give an idea of where does your team stack up? Does your projection say that you are going to be scoring 140 points and you think that you should be a top two team in your league? That's probably not right. You probably need to have a higher projection. You probably want to be looking at that 160 point range. Or are your projections telling you that you're up in that range? Cool. Now you know you're one of those top two teams. You've confirmed what you're thinking. And so that's the kind of way that you can use this information. That's what you can do to take advantage of all the things that I'm talking about here and make sure that even though you know now that dynasty players are not as efficient as redraft, you can still take something out of this and go, I know how to identify just how good my team is. Regardless of any rankings, regardless of pulling it up on any websites, whatever, you know how to quick, by the numbers, look at, am I hitting the values that I need to in the projections of my team? Without getting biased by where different sites will value your starting lineup differently, or will value, oh, we've got a player value score, things like that. No, the projections are pretty good in most of the fantasy platforms at this point. So if the projections say that you're scoring the amount of points that you need to score, good. And if they aren't, maybe it's time to take a little bit of a listen to them and figure out what levels you need to hit and where you need to upgrade in order to actually be making that statistical difference in order to get yourself that first round bye you're looking for. That's all I have for us this week. Once again, if you want to see these charts and see the data that I use, go over to the Patreon, patreon.com/SouthHarmon, and sign up for the pregame pooper tier. And as always, stay sharp and grind that edge.